Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, let's see what our heart at. I can't believe it. Check your heart.
For the next 2 hours, get ready as we cover the NFL like no one else. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
We're between the white lines. This is football. This is football. Welcome to the big leagues. Welcome to the big leagues.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And we'll welcome you in live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, week three in the NFL. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery here. We are going to be with you until 2:25 today, at which point we will hand it off to Falcons pregame coverage as the Falcons continue their West Coast trip. They are in Seattle today to take on the Seahawks. That will be a 4:25 kick, at which point Dave Archer and Wes Durham will have the call. You can follow us on our social media pages. Station's at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. He is at BigHugh53 on Twitter. I am at JMCH316. And Hugh, it's another afternoon start here. A little bit later for the Falcons today. It's not right at 4 o'clock. They're the part of the group of the national games. So locally here, instead of watching Buccaneers and Packers, we get to watch Seahawks and Falcons today.
Good times. Can't wait.
All right, so I'm going to go on a bit of a diatribe here for a couple minutes, if
you'll
allow
me. Handle your business. I'm here for it.
I believe today is a must-win game, and I'm going to explain why. This is not about playoffs or what your record is or this, that, and the other. But given the way you've lost the first couple of games, if you're 0-3 today and you come back home next week against Cleveland, who you're certainly not going to be favored against, and you're going to get into a stretch where, if we're being honest, if you're 0-3, you might be 0-7 before you see your next win. But home with Cleveland, at Tampa, home with the 49ers, and at Cincinnati, you come back here 0-3, and especially if you start Marcus Mariota, while the head coach may not be on any kind of hot seats or anything like that, your owner's not going to sit back and want to see an empty building at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And you come back 0-3, and Marcus Mariota is your starting quarterback against the Browns, there won't be anybody there. And I know the Atlanta fan base well enough and have for 30 years now that there won't be anybody at that game. You're not going to rally support, and you're not going to keep your fan base engaged if you're 0-3, and especially if Marcus Mariota is your starter coming up next weekend. You have to find a way to win today to at least give your fan base some hope going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, not only that, you're talking about, like, Seattle's looking at this, like, I think they're, what's the record, 1-1, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
They're looking at this as their measuring stick. You know, they were familiar with Denver and Russell Wilson in the first game. They lost last week. So this week they're looking at it and they're thinking to themselves, like, basically that we have the worst roster in the NFL, and they want to see how well we compare to them. And where they are as far as their season is concerned. So yeah, you have to win this game in order to get this fan base somewhat excited about the season and to come home feeling good about yourselves.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Come home feeling good about yourself. Spend a couple weeks out there. Talk about that for a second, Hugh. Players want to win, right?
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean, so you know, if you spend a couple of weeks on the West Coast and you can't find a way to win a game, again, I know we can talk about long season and all this kind of stuff, but that's pretty disheartening, is it not?
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. Listen, and I know he got in trouble for it last week when Justin Fields basically said that nobody, you know, the fans didn't put in as much work as they have and all this other stuff. I mean, I get what he was saying. I mean, because nobody sits in a locker room and says, well, I take that back. Some people do. Some people sit in the locker room and say, well, I got paid today for the most part.
Right.
But most guys look at that, man, and that's the worst feeling in the world. You know, letting your fan base down, you know, especially when you look at how diehard this fan base has been, how excited everybody has been when you look at the preseason games that we won and people bought back in, the way that they came into that building the first game of the season, the way that they showed up and showed out. So it's one of those things, man, where, you know, you want to do right by the fans, man. You want to do right by the fans, mm-hmm. especially in this climate that we're in right now, this economic climate that we're in right now. We understand, or you should understand, that people are making real sacrifices
yeah.
to come to this game, come
yeah,
to these
business
games.
Business
decisions. Yeah, business decisions mm-hmm. to come to these games. And you owe it to them in that sense to go out there, man, and give it your best all the time.
So we'll obviously dive pretty deep into this game today, and you know, we'll see what happens as the Falcons will come back home next week against the Cleveland Browns, who did win on Thursday night. So, look, the Browns are infinitely more talented than the Atlanta Falcons are. I don't care if it is Jacoby Brissett. They could bring back Bernie Kosar to play quarterback when you've got Clowney and Garrett and Chubb and Kareem Hunt and, you know, Cooper and all those guys that are. And their offensive line is immensely talented and stuff like that. So we'll worry about next week. But this is certainly a very winnable game this week for the Atlanta Falcons. All right, let's look at the college slate yesterday. So there is a piece of news that the Georgia Tech Board of Regents or what have you. Let's see if I got Kenny's tweet here that I pulled up. A special meeting of the Georgia Tech Athletic Association Board has been called for Monday afternoon. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make a prediction. And I may be totally wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction. Jeff Collins is not getting fired this week. Jeff Collins is going to get the Pittsburgh game to coach before they come back home for two games against Duke and Virginia. If he does not win in Pittsburgh, which they're not going to win, they're going to go up there and get their hat handed to him. It's going to go exactly like I said it would at 1-4 to start the year, and he's going to get fired. You're not – I don't think you're meeting on Monday afternoon to announce on Tuesday that your head coach is gone.
No,
for the week.
That's one of those things. Like, I was thinking about that. Now,
he'd be gone today if you were going to fire him.
Now, I forgot who sent the tweet out this morning because, you know, we're on this text thread. Somebody said they might be handing out the collection plate. They might be, you know, how when you get together with your friends mm-hmm. and y'all start going through your pockets
yes.
and see how much money
yes.
you got. That, yeah. They're probably doing that.
Because his his contract is fully guaranteed for this year. Uh-huh. So if you fire him this year, you have to pay out $10.5 million, which is what's remaining on his contract. If you wait until January 1st next year, mm-hmm. it goes down to $2.4 million.
Yeah, but you want to be in the running. Like, see, this is the problem.
I agree with you. You don't want to wait, and because look, they're not going to win three games this year. That's the reality. Go look at their schedule.
We knew that coming in, though, Chuck. We knew that, and you were in a dogfight yesterday.
Yes, you hoped it would be a little bit better, but. Yeah. I don't believe that they're going to fire Jeff Collins. Now, the other guy, Abe brought this up, and we talked about this on our college football show yesterday. I'm going to be interested to see what the future of Todd Stansbury, the athletic director, is there. I know he's a hometown. He's an alum.
Weren't they talking about him getting gone, too?
Could be. I mean, look.
Both
their football and basketball program has some issues. I know that they won the ACC a couple of years ago. But by and large, their basketball program has been very underwhelming. And the football program is just in this town. This might be different if we were in South Carolina as a you know local team. You're in downtown Atlanta mm-hmm. as an ACC program. You should be better than what you are.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's a lot of this is what's all over Twitter. There is a lot of hindsight looking or what's the term I'm looking for? There's a lot of reflection about Paul Johnson.
You mean like, he wasn't as bad as we thought he was type
yeah.
deal?
Yes. Yes.
Because we were going to bowl game. At least we would be yes. in bowl contention every year?
Yes. To Abe's, yes. Looking in hindsight at what, okay, go look at Paul's last 4 years here. They were not very good. They were not a very good program. I know they had the 1-9 win season. They weren't a very good program. And that one year when they were a three-win team, and one, and their only ACC win was the miracle of Techwood over here.
Mm-hmm.
That was their only ACC win, that block kick against Florida State. They weren't a very good program the last 4 years under Paul. And that was his the last 4 years were the start of his eighth year at Georgia Tech. So it wasn't like Paul had only been here for 3 or 4 years
mm-hmm.
by the time his last 4 years were getting started. He was in his eighth year with the program. All that Orange Bowl and all that stuff was before the last 4 years. Last 4 years, which is a full recruiting group, they weren't a very good program.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that this you know, benefit of hindsight, look at what Paul Johnson did, that's easy.
Right.
I mean, that's easy to do now, but the last 4 years, they were not a very good program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's going to get fired. I think he's going to get a chance to coach Pitt, and then I think if they go out there and lose to Pitt, which I think they anticipate, when they got home games against Duke and Virginia after they go up to Pitt, I think that's when the change will happen, is after the Pitt game. Your thoughts, Hugh Douglas?
That's interesting. Like to your point, I don't think they're going to be that hasty and fire him, because if you're going to fire him, you'd have fired him yesterday.
Exactly.
You'd have Herm Edwards.
Right.
Him.
You'd
have Herm Edwards.
Exactly.
Him. You'd have
you,
did
you,
that.
You'd have had an alum. You'd have done the Pat Hayden. Have him meet him on the airplane at the tarmac and just go ahead and cut
bait. Yeah, you'd have did that. So I think there's some truth to what you're saying. It's just going to be interesting. I think what they did yesterday, or they're going to do Tuesday, they're gonna take around the collection plate
mm-hmm.
and figure out how close
mm-hmm.
they can get
yep.
to buying him out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'll be a negotiation. Hey, man, would you take this? You know, and if I'm coach, I'll be like, no, give me my money.
No, I get that. And you have to think about who's going to be your interim coach and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, these are not hasty decisions.
Exactly. So I don't think all that's going to happen. Did Georgia get scared yesterday at all?
You mean against Kent State?
Yeah.
You know,
that's the other narrative that I'm just laughing at.
We were sitting talking last week, and we had, what was it, over under how many times Kent State scored? I think I took the over, like at least once. I don't think they got scared. I think it was one of those things where, like I try to tell my partner, people are going to try to exploit your flaws. And I think that was one of the things that happened yesterday in this game. Didn't get a chance to see the game because it was on I couldn't find the channel. Was it on Apple TV or something like that? It was somewhere weird, but they didn't have the game on TV. So, yeah, it was one of those things.
Okay,
where,
can I know. Say – I'll say this real quickly as we're headed to break. Georgia won by 3 touchdowns, committing 3 turnovers. How many college programs can do that?
Not many.
Okay, commit 3 turnovers and you still won by 3 touchdowns.
And you gave up 93 yards on the ground.
Yeah. So, again, scared? I don't know. Georgia's still the best team in the country. So.
Ohio State?
I think right now Georgia's still been the best team in the country.
Okay, I go with that. Okay.
And look, Ohio State's offense, we could get in that. I could spend the next 40 minutes talking about Ohio State's offense.
They are.
And look.
Boy, they smothered Wisconsin for the first three quarters.
They are the best group of skill position players by far in the country. Quarterback, running backs, wide receivers. There's nobody in America that can compare to what Ohio State. And I said this, that the Ohio State wide receiver room has been the best unit in the country for, anyway. When we get back, we will hear from the head coach, Arthur Smith. We'll hear from the quarterback as we get ready. 4:25 today, kickoff, Falcons and Seahawks. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, taking it till 2:25. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Oh, my goodness!
If it matters to a United fan, hear it first, even on the weekend.
Your weekend plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You get beat, make sure that they know that we're going to line back up or you're going to have to beat me again.
Getting you ready for today's game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Hugh Douglas, John Trucker in the Kia Studios this afternoon. 2:25 is when we go off air and hand it over to Atlanta Falcons pregame coverage. Falcons in Seattle, of course. Take on the Seahawks. 2:25 pregame, 4:25 kick. Dave and Wes will have the call as the Falcons look to avoid an 0-3 start before coming back home and taking on the Cleveland Browns. Hey, coming up during today's game, we have the Ticketmaster Halftime Report brought to you by Ticketmaster, official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this game, you know, at the very start. Look. Last week, Hugh, the Falcons are doing some good things. They're certainly much more competitive this year than they were the first couple of games last year. No question about it. Let's get into some audio. Let's hear from the head coach as he talks about this 0-2 start. Feels different than it did last year.
Completely different situation. Completely different team. So certainly younger at other spots. But there are a lot of these young guys that we feel are progressing pretty well. And certainly we've had more production offensively than we had last year and defensively as well. And so, like I said, the game's usually always going to come down to turnover margin, red zone situation, which you can now put in third and fourth down. So we got to continue to make progress there, and especially in the critical situations.
Okay, I understand all that. It's the NFL, though. See, this is what's great about the NFL, Hugh, among many things. But I can go on ESPN.com, go to NFL, go to their homepage, go to the standings, and I can look at the standings, and I can tell by wins and losses. There's no BCS. There's no computers. There's no committee. There's no poll or anything like that that determines anything. You win or you lose in the NFL. And that's why 0-3 would still be 0-3 in the NFL. And it starts to get to be a rough look. So while I get and I understand, they have played better in the first couple of games this year than they did last year out there. But when you have, especially the Saints game, when you have a chance to win a game, if you're going to change the culture, we have to find a way to close those games out.
Yeah, you do. And sometimes that means that somebody has to step up and make a play in key moments. And that's not that doesn't necessarily have to be the quarterback. You look at last week and how the defense stepped up big and they made a play on special teams. Special teams, I should say, because, you know, we got somebody here that would argue that wasn't a defensive play. That was a special teams play. But, yeah, you got to make plays in certain situations because the margin of error in the NFL is so small, and that's the difference between winning and losing a game, is that one key mistake that you could potentially make that, get you the win or get you the loss.
And I've talked about this, though, Hugh. You know, in the NFL, though, you do need your quarterback to make a play. And I'll give you a prime example. Do you remember a few years ago when New England and Jacksonville were in the AFC Championship game?
Mm-hmm.
And Jacksonville arguably had the best young roster in the entirety of the NFL. Okay, they were up in that game and this, then the other. They should have won that game, but they couldn't get a play out of their quarterback. Blake Bortles couldn't make a play.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And a few years before when it was it Alex Smith for the 49ers and the Giants when the Giants beat them in San Francisco?
Yes.
And they didn't complete a pass to a wide receiver to like the middle of the third quarter, what have you. Alex Smith couldn't make a play in that game. And sometimes that's all you need out of your quarterback.
One play.
Make one play.
That's
make
it.
Make me one big play, and we can handle everything else. And I think that's the thing about Mariota. I don't blame Mariota for both of these losses, but he also hasn't made a play to help you win either of those games.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that, you know, we try to sit here every day and try to get people to understand. You know, I mean,
you were freaky.
Yes. you try to explain to people.
I put you on the spot right there.
No, but you try to explain to people that there are certain times in the course of a game, like you could do everything right, but every now and then somebody has to go above and beyond just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen, like, perfect example. Remember that one year where Aaron Rodgers had like a string of games where he just heaved it to the end zone and somebody caught it?
Yeah.
And that was on SportsCenter like every week because he did it like for like three or four weeks straight.
Against Seattle something like that. He had the Monday night Hail Mary and all that.
He would just chuck it. Now, there is some luck in all of that, but you got to have the skill set to be able to, you know, to make that thing happen.
It's a byproduct of hard work.
And even you look at the Rams and their quarterback last week. They were abysmal in running the football. But every now and then, the quarterback had to make a play, had to thread the needle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes down to that. I was talking to a former GM before the season started. And we were talking about elite quarterbacks and good quarterbacks. And he said, Hugh, there are not that many elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
But there are some good ones that you can win with, you can still win with, and there are others that are just placeholders. You got to figure out which one you got. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. He said, you got to figure out which one you got. And I think that, you know, when people hear us talk about the quarterback play, like you said, it's not been bad. It's not been to the point where you can make an argument. And if you take each of those games that we played in, specifically in the fourth quarter, you can make an argument that if a key play went this way or that way, we'd probably be 2-1 right now, mm-hmm. or 2-0 right now. You know, that's the difference. And that's what you're trying to get people to see. It's like, okay, wasn't that bad. But when it comes crunch time, you have to be able to make a play.
Well, I think, and this is another thing, people think, well, we can afford to be bad this year and that and the other, and then we'll be good next year and all that. Hugh, you can't just push a button and say we're going to start winning games all of a sudden. I mean, you know, there are some weeks in the NFL where you have a roster that will out-talent another roster enough to where they can win a game. But by and large, to your point, it's not like in the NFL you can go out and just out-talent everybody every single week and just say we're just going to push a button and win games. Something has to click in your psyche that says we have to close this thing out, we have to make a play here, and we can do that. And I think that's the thing that people miss is they just think that, you know, if we just go out and spend money and bring in free agents. And by the way, you know, really good players are not going to come play for a two-win franchise. But we can talk about that in the offseason. But there is learning how to win and not just almost win, but actually win.
Ask Buddy Hackett how it worked out for him.
Does he win around the world in 100 days or whatever on his balloon?
No. When he, you know, you trot out. You have
when that
like
the movie Buddy Hackett was in, Around the World in 80 Days or something like that? Or?
I'm not for sure.
Or was he in like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
I think he was.
Okay.
But you have a $200 million quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and you're like you got time on the clock, like what, a minute and a half or something. You run time off the clock and trot your kicker out there. And was it like a 60-some-odd
It was the longest field goal ever, I think, wasn't it? Like the longest field goal attempt ever.
And then you come back, like to your point about coaching. Then he come back the next week and said, well, the next day.
Monday. He came out on Monday. He came out on Monday and said, yep, I screwed up. Okay, well, that'll get you fired in the NFL.
No, Chuck. My bad.
Yeah. 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 If I had to do it over again, we'd do it a different way.
Then they played the Texans right, and they were like he was struggling with the clock, had a couple of false start penalties or whatever, legal procedure penalties, whatever it was. Had a couple of those to the point where people were actually counting down on the play clock. To let him know that'll get you fired.
Yeah,
that stuff right. Situational football will get you fired.
Yeah, I mean Dan Quinn was the master of can't run the clock, can't use timeouts, all that good kind of stuff. let's see here. Let's go to Arthur Smith, number four. Abe, Geno Smith has a lot of weapons at his disposal.
Geno, you know, when I was in Tennessee, we went against him when he was with the Jets. We got a couple games now to watch him. What he's doing in Seattle's offense and how they're handling their personnel. You know, they've got a lot of really good skill personnel. Tight end, they like to use all three of those tight ends.
Disley and Fant and Kobe Parkinson, and then the receivers, Metcalf and Lockett, there's a good 1-2 punches, anybody in the league. They had a good one. And they got a lot of weapons. Yeah, you got Penny back there, back, Kenneth Walker. So they got two young tackles. I think they're pretty good players.
So we'll get deeper into the matchups, Hugh, but Geno Smith has completed 81% of his passes, and they have a disproportionate amount of targets that go to Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf because those two guys are far and away their two best offensive weapons out there. And let me put it like this. Lockett has 15 targets. Metcalf has 13 targets. The next closest guy is Noah Fant with 6 targets. So nobody has even half as many targets for the Seahawks as either Metcalf or Lockett this year. They throw the football to their best weapons.
Yeah.
And Geno Smith has completed a high percentage of those passes.
Yeah, and the thing that I look at this, and this was Achilles heel, it's funny because this was one of the reasons why Russell Wilson didn't want to be in Seattle was the fact that offensive line was somewhat atrocious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that they've been able to protect, they can't run the ball. They still are atrocious at
running the football. They're the worst running team in the NFL.
They're still atrocious at running the football. But they had the ability and give Geno Smith enough time to get the ball to those playmakers. So, again, to me, it doesn't change every week. You got to stop the run. You have to keep that going. Now, what's going to end up happening in this game, like it happened last week, there's going to be a commitment to the run game because the Falcons have not really shut the run game completely down. There's going to be a commitment to that. So, you have to be, in order for you to have success in this game, in my opinion, you have to get pressure with 4. You have to. And I know we were sitting here talking about it and everything. Grady Jarrett's going to get double teamed. He's going to get double teamed. Those other guys have to beat their 1-on-1 blocks. Because it's 5 up front, 5 against 4. Grady's taking 2. So you got 3 guys across the front that have to beat their 1-on-1. Because what's going to end up happening, you want to, like with the fact that you have Lockett and Metcalf in the secondary, you want to give your corners as much help as you possibly can. So you want to have your safeties back. You want to have your safeties over the top, and you want to have them in position to be able to catch, to tackle if there's some pass. You don't want no runs after the catch, Chuck. You don't want none of that.
And we'll get into this too. The Falcons' pass defense has not been good the first couple of weeks. Statistically, they've not been very good.
They've had some tough draws.
Yeah. Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, you got some tough. Hey, in the next couple of weeks, it's not going to get any better. Yeah. But that goes to my point. When you have to start committing people to the blitz and the blitzes aren't getting home and you're allowing the quarterback to sit back there and pick your secondary apart, that puts your guys in a tough spot. Now, you know, we started out like gangbusters in that first game as far as getting to the quarterback. Last week, a little bit. But to me, that's where it begins and ends. Always begins and ends in the trenches. Every single game that you've been in, it always begins and ends in the trenches. And you have to be able – some of these guys have to beat their one-on-ones. They just have to. Because if you get in a situation where you're going to have to start walking that safety down and you're going to have to start bringing him, then that leaves a hole in your secondary. And your corners, they haven't been living up to billing in the last couple of games, which is understandable when you talk about Cooper Kupp and Michael Thomas and things like that. But you don't want DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf grown. He looked like a linebacker.
Yeah.
You don't want him getting his off today either. You don't want him getting his.
We will take a look around the NFL at some of the other action coming up today as we're going to take you till 2:25 this afternoon. Heck, there's kickoffs in about, 25 minutes from right now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show live in the Kia Studios. Hugh Douglas, John Trucker, Sports Radio, not to the game, the Odyssey.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Is he in? He's in! Touchdown, Atlanta!
Slam dunk.
Bang!
Shot on goal.
Shot from distance. Score!
Home run.
It is gone!
All season, hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
The biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Carr waiting for the shotgun snap. He's got the ball. Quick throw left side. Renfro with a catch. And he breaks one tackle. Then the ball comes out. It's loose. And it's picked up by the Cardinals in midfield. It's picked up by Byron Murphy at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. Ball game! Byron Murphy picks up the ball at midfield, returns it for a touchdown, and the Cardinals win. Go Flags! What an unbelievable finish here in Vegas!
Arizona Cardinals Radio Network bringing us back in. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live with you on this Sunday morning, or afternoon now at this point. We're going to take you till 2:25 today, at which point we'll hand off to pregame coverage. Falcons and Seahawks, of course, Falcons wrapping up this West Coast trip, back-to-back games out on the West Coast. 4:25 will be kicked today, as West Durham and Dave Archer will have the call coming up at 4:25 as the Falcons look for their first win of the season. Hugh, as we bounce around the league a little bit, obviously the marquee game today is potentially the final matchup ever between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers as Green Bay's in Tampa. There's no way Tom Brady's playing next year, right?
I don't think so. Do you hear some of the stories that are coming out about Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And the fact that
he broke
two iPads or whatever.
Yes.
And the fact that he flew after he left Giselle, he went to go see his baby mama. All of that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Does he look like he's
human?
No. Physically, like his face.
Gaunt? He looks gaunt.
Something doesn't look right.
He looks gaunt. He looks like he's been worried to dang on death.
Yeah, like
he's frustrated.
Like he needs a large pepperoni pizza. And
he looks gaunt.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I saw a meme where it said, Tom Brady looks like somebody tried to draw Kevin Bacon from memory.
Wow. I was going to, I
the
mean.
The internet is mean.
I wasn't going to say, like, you've ever seen those before and after pictures of people that do drugs and stuff like
or,
that.
Or but, zombies. Like yeah, when zombies yeah, turn to zombies.
I mean, like crystal meth
or
people.
Or meth. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah,
meth heads,
yeah.
Like the difference between the before and after. He's starting to get Skeletor-ish around his jowl line.
Like I said, he looks human because his wife is wearing him to death. He's trying to hold this last year together. You know what? I was asked this question at the beginning of the football season, and now I think that I might move my answer a little bit. I was asked, do I think that Tom Brady is going to quit during the football season?
No.
And I was like, Chuck, I have never, like, to your point, all these different stories that are coming out about him and all this stuff that he's dealing with, the fact that he has thrown well-documented temper tantrums on the sideline, that might be a sign. I give him the week 10.
Oh, I don't think he's going to quit during the season.
You don't think so?
I think that Tom Brady had planned to play another year or two in the league, and this has all hastened that.
I'll say this. This will be the most we've ever seen Tom Brady be as transparent this year. This would be the realest Tom Brady that we've ever
absolutely.
Seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
This would be the realest Tom Brady that we've ever seen.
So let's talk about the football aspect of it. Tampa Bay's defense has been outstanding the first 2 weeks in the season, and they are the number one defense as far as scoring defense goes out there. They haven't had a lot of issues. I don't think Green Bay is going in there today and beating Tampa Bay. I think Tom and Tampa Bay together. Now, here's what's going to be interesting about that game, though. I think Mike Evans is out. Tell me if I'm wrong, Abe. Mike Evans is out. Godwin is out. And
they got
Julio
Cole Beasley, don't they?
Yeah, they activated Cole Beasley.
They got Cole Beasley going to come in and be that
Julio,
dude.
And Julio is on the
IR.
He's I think questionable, but I think. Okay, yeah, they'll see if he can go pregame, but I think Evans and Godwin are both out today.
Julio's gonna go. He has to go.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh. Think he's
you
gotta
go? Kind of you. I mean, because you gotta give Tom Brady something. They got like you know.
Well, if he's got Cole Beasley and if he's got Julio, right? I guess that'll be enough.
That's enough. Don't you think
for
so?
Him?
Who
for
does
him?
Who does Aaron Rodgers have?
Not much.
He has his girlfriend, his lovely girlfriend.
They look good Sunday night in that game. They got their offense cranked up and going. You know, I mean,
who's in Chicago?
Against the Bears. NFL team. Those guys get paid, right?
You're right. I just, you know, yeah.
Because the Bears won the week before, right?
Didn't he come out a couple years ago and say, I own you?
He does. Yeah, he owns the Bears. Yeah, I'm your daddy.
Look
yeah.
at me. I'm the captain now.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me and said, I'm your daddy.
Let's talk about a game that's very interesting. Kansas City goes into Indianapolis today.
Ooh, yeah, with
and
your boy.
Listen, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan last week was awful.
Abysmal.
He was awful.
I got a lot
last
of heat
week.
Behind that too, by the way.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm still in that. Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer, but the way that he's playing right now.
See, I'm not as convinced only because he doesn't have the Super Bowl to go along with it. That has become
Hall of Famer?
Huh?
Dan Fouts.
Well, what I was going to say is, in today's NFL, that has become because everybody's in the top 10 in passing now.
Yeah, passing.
Everybody's a top 10 passing quarterback. If you play long enough in the league, look, Kirk Cousins will be in the top 10 when it's all said and done. You going to put him in the Hall of Fame?
You putting Phillip Rivers in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay, I respect that because that's no seriously.
Phillip Rivers is a better player than Matt Ryan.
And the reason why I say that is because. That's the guy that a lot of people feel is a Hall of Famer.
And he didn't have a better career than Matt Ryan.
Exactly. And that's my whole rationale.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
I'm not saying that they won't go in. I'm just saying that me
personally. In your personal opinion. Listen. Chad Ochocinco is out there making a case for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Which is, listen, I am not hating anybody who gets on that ballot or anything like that, but it – like certain people that you look at and they throw that Hall of Fame number around, it kind of makes you wonder what the criteria is. And it also validates for me what Deion said about the Hall of Fame. He said, like, basically now it's the Hall of Good because it's like when you see certain players, I see certain players, Chuck, like Deion, there is no doubt in anybody's mind. Deion made anybody he played with a better player. Deion made Joseph. If you had Deion in your secondary, you had a better secondary.
Yeah.
No question about that.
He'd be on my first team all NFL all time.
Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, guys like that, difference makers, to me, mm-hmm. are bona fide Hall of Famers. Yep. Reggie White. But then there are some guys you look at and be like, Tony Boselli. Like, to me, I don't see it.
College,
not Hayden.
College football college Hall of Fame all day long.
Beast yep. in college.
Four-time All-American,
was hurt
no doubt.
Most of his career.
Yeah, he was the first pick of the Texans, and he just never lived up to what he could have been.
And
the problem with the wide receivers is that it's a differently, because I'll put it like this. You know, some teams get the benefit of the doubt. Like, the Steelers have a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame from those 70s teams, but I don't know that I'd have put John Stallworth in the Hall of Fame. There are certain guys. Lambert belongs in the Hall of Fame. Jack Ham probably belongs in the Hall of Fame. Mel Blount certainly belongs in the Hall of Fame. But there are some of those guys that you look at and you say, okay, should they be in the Hall of Fame and this, that, and the other? But they get the benefit of the doubt and stuff like that. I think there are certain franchises like that. But to your point, there are a lot of – I mean, when we talk about wide receivers, Chad Ochocinco had a good, I don't know, what, maybe 3-4-year run?
Yeah.
Okay. But was he Randy Moss or Terrell Owens?
No.
Okay. And that's where you have to put him against his contemporaries. You know, how many guys in the NFL were better than, let's say, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison?
I mean, in that era?
Yeah.
Not too many.
Yeah, very few.
What would you like out of curiosity, because I respect your opinion when it comes to this, Eric Moles, where would you rate him as the receiver for Buffalo? Because E. Moles was a really good receiver in that era.
But there's a lot of those guys that are like that. Like, mm-hmm. I'll even say like the Torrey Holtz of the world. I think Torrey Holt was a really good wide receiver. Is he a Hall of Famer, though? I don't know about that. I don't know if he's one of the best wide receivers ever, because that's what the Hall of Fame should be, right?
Who was the receiver he played with? I can't remember. He's
Isaac
in the Hall
Bruce.
Of Fame. Him and Isaac Bruce were 1A and 1B,
absolutely.
In my opinion. Isaac Bruce is in.
And you know who the better offensive player than those two guys were, and who could have been maybe a better wide receiver? Was the guy in the backfield, Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk was a beast.
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk was a beast.
I've said before, Marshall Faulk in my lifetime is the best offensive player I've ever seen in his prime.
Let me tell you, like, I know this firsthand.
And you played against that guy.
Man, listen, I know this firsthand. Marshall was a threat out of the backfield between the tackles, mm-hmm. and he was a threat in the passing mm-hmm. game.
He could have been a wide receiver.
He could have been in the slot.
Because he could run any route that was asked
of him. Man, listen, I remember, because we had defenses where we had to drop into coverage, and a couple times I had to cover him. Dude.
Didn't go well.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I remember seeing, I saw the back of Marshall Faulk's jersey more than I saw the front of it. Like, when I had to drop into coverage, like, and it was nothing. Like, we had zone blitzes where I would try to just step back and just stay in front of this dude. All I saw was the back of his jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, he was that yeah. nice. And the way that he ran routes, he was a beast.
Listen, I've seen Barry Sanders. Terrell I've seen
Davis.
Emmett. I'm not taking anything away from anybody. But I think Marshall Faulk, because of all the things that he could do, was the best offensive player I saw.
Because you could put him anywhere on the field, on the offensive side of the ball, and he can make it happen.
He was the ultimate mismatch. I mean, I agree with you. But, you know, again – but listen, we got the list the other day, the Hall of Famers. Like, for instance, I think Darrell Revis should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think that there are five corners in the history of the NFL that are better than Darrell Revis. Deion would be on that list, but I don't know how many cover corners you would put on that list. Things like wide receiver start to become a jumbled mess when you talk about all of the guys that are available out there. Because, again, it's a league where, you know, Drew Pearson is a guy who doesn't have great numbers. Stallworth doesn't have great numbers. But what did they mean to their team or the era and things like that? You know, then you start to get into those debates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Nowadays, all the wide receivers that played from the late 90s on have big numbers historically.
And it's I get it. And again, not hating, but it's like there are guys that as a contemporary, guys that you've played against, guys that you've watched, that you've seen them on the field, that you look at and you'd be like, you know what? That guy right there, bona fide. Like, you know, it's like certain guys you play against, you be like, that guy right there, he respect. You just say respect.
I'm waving to Oren.
No, I see it. Oren's at work today.
Good to see the daddy. Good to see daddy. Who's your daddy? Oren's back. So is he back full time?
Father of Franklin. No,
he's
hanging out with
Franklin.
He's
still got several weeks left.
He's changing poopy diapers. He's getting number one signs thrown up at him every day.
Yeah, listen, we're not that far from poopy diapers. But anyway.
I'm on the other side of that thing.
let me ask a quick question.
What's that?
Is your Eagles the best team in the NFC right now?
Man, listen. Can I?
Go for it.
Chuck, it's the first week of the season. How many times have we seen teams? Normally it doesn't happen a whole lot, but you see teams get off to this great start in the first four weeks of the season, then they come back down to earth. We're still in the first quarter mm-hmm. of this NFL season. They got off to a great start, and they put themselves in position if they win today.
Better to be 2-0 than 0-2.
They put themselves in position against the – they will put themselves in position today against the Commanders to be in a great spot. Still a lot of football left to be played, but if you're asking right now, they look like they're the most complete team. Your boy Jordan Davis, they love him up there. Mm-hmm. And Philadelphia, they love him.
Yeah,
they love the way that defense is playing. But you know, like you always go into a meeting and you look at the flaws. They gave up a couple big plays. Who did they play last week on Monday night? I forgot who it was, but they gave up a couple big plays. It's Minnesota. They gave up some big plays in Minnesota. Yeah. So I mean, it's they look like they're trending in that right direction.
Yeah, they are in Washington today to take on the Commanders. Hey, the Tailgate Show is brought to you by the Fire Shire, the official sauce of our tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com today to find a Fire Shire retailer near you. We'll take a look at some injuries and some stats when we get back. Wait for a Tailgate Show, taking it to 225 today. Sports Radio after the game in the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.